Well, we come to our 13th chapter in our quest for authentic manhood, talking about the good news solution to the heart wound. And we're looking at two perspectives here. And from the left, which would be my story, I started out young in my Christian walk. My mom led me to the Lord at the age of 6. So me coming to her was one of, I had some understanding that there was a problem. I didn't understand all that was going on, but I didn't know much, but I knew I was lost. And there's a quote by Juvenal in his satires that says, "No wicked man is happy." Well, I was just a little kid, but I knew something was wrong. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I knew that when I died, I wanted to go to heaven. And I did see a love for the Lord in my mom's life. And so I asked her what it would be to ask Jesus into my life, and I did that. Now, was I saved exactly on that day? I don't know. I look back at that as a turning point. I got baptized at the age of 8. But there were a lot of times of, in our terms, of rededication, or, yeah, I want to get serious. There were things I wanted to stop doing. I had doubts, and all through those years, but ultimately God gave me a confidence and a settled knowing that I had come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because I believed the gospel. I believed that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and I put my faith and trust in him. Now, I didn't have much faith, but what I had, I put in Jesus Christ. And that was a good thing. That was what I needed to do. And I didn't change much at first outwardly, but something profound did change inwardly. He did place in me a desire to walk with him, a desire to please him. Look at this verse in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And so even at a young age, that was truth. I didn't understand all that was involved in that, but I knew that that was a truth that I could rest in, that I could trust. And I believed him, and I trusted him, and he's been working on me ever since. And so I come at it in that way. I needed a Savior, and I looked to Jesus Christ, and I believe he saved me. And if it wasn't that day, it was in a future day. But at this day right now, I know I'm saved, and he's still working on me. He's still teaching me, and he's still conforming me to the image of his son. And this whole idea of we need a regeneration, I like how J.I. Packer puts it. He says, "Regeneration is the spiritual change wrought in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit, in which his or her inherently sinful nature is changed so that he or she can respond to God in faith and live in accordance with his will. It extends to the whole nature of man, altering his governing disposition, illuminating his mind, freeing his will, and renewing his nature. Regeneration or new birth is an inner recreating of fallen human nature by the gracious sovereign action of the Holy Spirit. The Bible conceives salvation as the redemptive renewal of man on the basis of a restored relationship with God in Christ and presents it as involving a radical and complete transformation wrought in the soul by God the Holy Spirit, by virtue of which we become new men, no longer conformed to this world, but in knowledge and holiness of the truth, created after the image of God. Regeneration is the birth by which this work of new creation is begun, as sanctification is the growth whereby it continues. Regeneration in Christ changes the disposition from lawless, godless self-seeking, which dominates man in Adam, into one of trust and love, of repentance for past rebelliousness and unbelief, and loving compliance with God's law henceforth. It enlightens the blinded mind to discern spiritual realities and liberates and energizes the enslaved will for free obedience to God. So as we look at from the right, or old Saint Nick's story, we'll look at Nicodemus a moment. Let me read this also from J.I. Packer. He goes on, he says, "The use of the figure of new birth to describe this change emphasizes two facts about it. The first is its decisiveness. The regenerate man has forever ceased to be the man he was. His old life is over, and a new life has begun. He's a new creature in Christ, buried with him out of reach of condemnation, and raised with him into a new life of righteousness. The second fact emphasized is the monergism of regeneration. Infants do not induce or cooperate in their own procreation and birth. No more can those who are dead in trespasses and sins prompt the quickening operation of God's Spirit within them. Spiritual vivification is a free and to man mysterious exercise of divine power, not explicable in terms of the combination or cultivation of existing human resources, not caused or induced by any human efforts or merits, and not therefore to be equated with or attributed to any of the experiences, decisions, and acts to which it gives rise, and by which it may be known to have taken place." So we come to this story in John chapter 3, and we see this story. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?'" And so we have in Jewish thought, the rebirth was sought or seen in the circumcision, the bar mitzvah, when they were married, and when they became a rabbi. And Nicodemus would have had all four of those things go on. And yet, Jesus is saying to him, "You must be born again." So in his mind, it's like, well, I did all four of those things. What else do I need to do? I can't go into my mom's womb again. How can I do this? And then Jesus goes on. He says, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel that you do not understand these things?" And so we see here that we are wounded by birth, but we are healed by rebirth. And so he's, first of all, born of the Spirit is a supernatural rebirth. John 1:12 and 13 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So, he doesn't just forgive our sin, but he changes our nature. And then secondly, this word "must" in verse 7 is an irreplaceable rebirth. It has to happen. There's no other thing that could be placed in that spot. And then lastly, 3, it's you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You, from verse 7, is a personal rebirth. So let me ask you some questions here as we wrap things up. Number 1, where are you in your spiritual journey? And could you explain that? And secondly, do you believe you've been born again? And when did that take place? And then lastly, if you were to die tonight, are you confident you would go to heaven? Why or why not? Please get this resolved so that you know that those questions can be answered with a positive answer. You must be born again.